Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
I'm delighted to say we have the Italian head coach Conor O'Shea with us. Conor, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
The November series is over, and it was a tricky enough November series with your fixture list. You had a great win against Fiji, Argentina beat you, and then South Africa beat you as well. Where's your kind of end of November report card for the team?
I think a lot of progress, to be honest. If you watched, I think the games and our performances were probably better than the results. It's going to be difficult for us to get results in the short term, but we've unearthed a few young players. And if you just look at the South African game, we arguably played better against them in losing than we did against beating them the year before. But we just didn't get the energy of scoring, and that's something that we have to get. But we've blooded a few new young players. I think our performance levels, our structures, our systems are miles ahead of where they were. But we know we face some tough games, and you finish off this series and the next is England at home, Ireland away, Wales, France away, Wales away, and Scotland. So, but we're definitely improving. That's the biggest thing. We just know the levels we have to get to and how far we have to catch up. But we're making progress both at franchise level and national level. And people will judge on results, but we have to look beyond that in terms of our performances, and then the results will come.
That's very difficult, I guess, when you've come from the background that you have, where winning was kind of okay. So losing is part of every professional sports person's life, but there is also that joy of winning games on a semi-regular basis. The more you do it, the better it is. But having that kind of okay, this is fine now, and I know that we have to go through this pain, but ultimately it's for the greater good. Difficult enough for sports people to get their heads around that.
It is, but it's the reality of where we are. I think everyone's, if we weren't making progress, you'd be worried. I mean, when you look back at our summer series, we lost to a last minute drop goal, 22-19 in Fiji. We were 28-27 with, the 78th minute in Brisbane against Australia. We'd beaten Fiji. The Argentinian game was a game right in the balance. And, that was probably the frustrating one in the autumn series. Because we had opportunities on three or four occasions, as did Argentina, to win the game. And whoever got the two scores ahead was always going to be the one. I think the lead changed nine times in the game. So as long as we're getting and we know we're closing the gap, you need the odd bit of luck to go your way, the odd decision, and things you control yourself. And I think that's what we'll be focusing on. Even within the South African game, I think the first 20 minutes we played as well as we played. The conditions were terrible, which didn't suit us. I think South Africa ended up making over 200 tackles against us. We only had to make half that number. We had 63% of the territory and we had 60% of the possession. Now, the easy thing to come back and say is, well, you should be scoring with that, and you're right. But the fact is that we're getting that, and we had numerous field positions and opportunity. If you do execute, the energy is different. And that's something we'll just have to keep on working and learning. But there's some very, very good young players beginning to surface. And, we all knew and we all know the scale of the challenge. But I think both the big thing is we have to remain very, very resilient and mentally strong, knowing that this is a process that should have happened 20 years ago in terms of the changes that have taken place. And as a national side, we have a long way to catch up on people, but everyone's gone through this. Ireland went through it, Scotland have gone through it, and now we're going through it in terms of doing the right things. Have we done them later than others? Yes, but everyone's held their hand up and said that. But now at least we're doing it, and I don't mind. I'll get judged on results. That's the life you live, but we look beyond it in terms of what we're building and what we're doing. And as long as people, and most importantly, the group, the players, the staff all see the progression we're making. And, even talking to the referees after the games, they're saying, well, look, you're a completely different team to a year ago. And we'll just hopefully bring that into Six Nations. Will it be hard? Yeah, it'll be hard. But we know what we're building towards. And hopefully, not a lot of people will have seen us play in the autumn, but hopefully when they see us play in the Six Nations, they'll see a completely different side. Are we going to win? Of course we're not. But we want to give a very, very good account of ourselves.
You get to do a lot of really interesting things too in a situation like this. You get to decide what the culture is going to be, and everybody either falls in line with that or they aren't any longer part of the organization. And that can be a really liberating thing for a new group, and particularly for a group of younger players who are kind of coming in and getting the opportunity to take ownership of that culture. How do you do that? How do you communicate that to groups who aren't necessarily speaking the same language as you? How does that happen?
Well, I'm getting there in the language, which is the important thing, but I'm sure I say the odd wrong thing, especially in a... It's actually easy when you're able to prepare. It's probably in the emotional state that it's more difficult to get that across. But, you know, everyone communicates in the same way. I mean, we're bringing in people to help our communication styles and understand that we all learn differently. So we're doing some normal business practice things in terms of having started working with insights, you know, in terms of our profile and our learning preferences. Everyone speaks English if you want them to, but I wasn't going to go into this and try and hide behind speaking English the whole time. It's just the wrong thing. I might make a lot of grammatical errors when it comes to my Italian, but and then in terms of the culture, there's just a massive passion amongst these players and the staff and the supporters to get things right. And I think everyone knows where they've let themselves down over, not in the last few years. This is something that's happened over 20 odd years of professionalism, that we haven't made the changes necessary to keep up with people. And people aren't going to wait for us either. You know, they're not going to wait and say, hey, hang on. So as we're making all these changes, people are still improving. So, no, is it liberating? It's exciting. It's challenging, as you said. The hard part is, and this is what I said to everyone, we have to be resilient in this challenge, because you love the energy, the vibe after beating Fiji is a lovely vibe. You'd love to have that on a more regular basis. But that will come if we keep on doing the right things. And all we can be is the best we can be. Is there anyone stupid enough to say if Ireland or England in the opening two games within 6 days of each other play at their peak versus us at our peak, who wins? They do. So no one's stupid. But what we have to do is make sure that we play to the best of our ability. And if things go awry, don't chase games. Stick to what we do. And these are all the things that we have to learn in terms of the momentum of matches and the energy of matches. And little things within a game, even within the games that we've played over this autumn series, small things have made massive differences. You look at the final scoreline, well, you ignore it. You say within the game, if two or three things change, the whole game changes, especially the way we play. So it's a challenge, but God, it's a great challenge. It really is. And I'd be sitting here worried and preoccupied and you know, a bit down if you didn't see the progress that was being made. But you really do feel like we are making genuine progress now. But we all know the scale of the challenge.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll happen.
When you talk about, especially the way we play, what do you mean? What are the kind of key values of what a good Italian performance would be when you look back at it and go, yeah, that's what we're looking for?
Well, you have to base yourself in your tradition. And we have to be, you know, in very well organized, very well structured, very difficult to break down in terms of our defensive structures, very direct in how we play. And then hopefully we can introduce that little bit of X factor within the team. And, you know, there's a couple of young guys have come back from injury, like Matteo Bellini. Matteo Menozzi has come off the bench in the three games, a year out of the under-20s, his first year with Zebre, who've got something a little bit different within the back. So you can work and work and work, but you need something to unlock that. But overall, I'd just say that we have to be a very, very difficult, abrasive, confrontational team. That is the nature of Italian rugby. It's the nature of Argentinian rugby. So, you know, let's not try and change that. We don't want to play New Zealand like the All Blacks, and we don't want to play Ireland like Ireland. We have to play it our way. So hopefully fitness levels are something that we can't break the players. They all know the level they have to attain in the next couple of years. They all know where they're at. It's not good enough yet. It's much better than it was. So I don't think the fitness, I think the fact that we made South Africa make over 200 tackles the last day shows that we can hold on to the ball a heck of a lot better than we have, as it was. We got mauled over, which is unusual, a couple of times, and then there was a cross kick. So You know, there are things that are, you know, on the day that was in it against South Africa, for instance, it rained so heavily after 20 minutes, you couldn't change the point of contact very easily.
Yeah.
So it became a confrontational game, which arguably probably suited the type of confrontation, suited them more with the size of pack they put out against us. But no, it's a bit of everything, and hopefully people will see that. But we're very realistic about how far we have to go. But the players have been unbelievable in terms of their commitment to what we're trying to do, and we all know the responsibility we have for the game and for the future of the game.
In a weird way, maybe the difficulties that Zebre had over the last couple of seasons might in the long run turn out to be quite a good thing for Italian rugby, in that the club is now in the control of the Italian rugby union, and ultimately perhaps that was a model that they should have gone down in the first place.
Well, not with Treviso. I'd agree with you with Zebre, but with Treviso, that is just such a traditional, that's like, you know, saying going into Munster and sort of thing, they've got a, it's a hotbed of rugby. But certainly for Zebre, it's a really step forward. I think it was very difficult last year when you had players who didn't know whether they'd been paid, whether they existed, and they were coming into camp, you know, not knowing what their future was. Now, there's a lot of exciting things happening in the background. Brad's made a massive, massive difference in terms of everything, along with Alessandro Troncon and Carlo Landi, but Michael Bradley has made a big difference in there. And a bit like ourselves, the challenge we have with Zebre is developing the depth of the team, because it happened so late in the year in terms of the Federation being able to take control, and that's a lot of that is legal and Italian politics as well. But we haven't got the depth to be able to rotate. So you'll see this weekend, a lot of the players that have played through the autumn tests are going straight back in and they're playing again. I mean, Brad rang me yesterday and said, listen, I have to play them. And I said, well, I know you do, but we know what we need to do there. We know we need to improve the depth, but we're working on that for next year. And I think you're right. It's an infinitely better place. In a year's time, we'll have 220 academies at either at both franchises, so the young players will control them a bit more. So there's a lot of good things happening, but as ever, when the Italian team run out, I'll be judged and we'll be judged on what happens there. But hopefully people will see a marked improvement. If the results don't happen yet, I'm pretty confident they will, and we'll see.
Yeah, because like you talked about the academies, and talking to people around the rugby world, there's definitely a move in France in particular to try and get some academies going. The Montpelliers of this world are tired of paying out for 14, 15 starters every year who are great players, world-class players, but have no bond with the team or with the town, no real sense of them actually going to stay there, and cost loads and loads of money compared with a kid who's come through, who wants to be there and who maybe might take a little bit less, although that's probably less likely to happen nowadays. So if Italian rugby starts to develop these academies, then they'll actually be a proper team and will be here forever and ever and ever. And that's kind of something, I guess, that if you're involved in setting it up, you'd really love to see it come to fruition.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, I've sat down with some of the older citizens like Sergio and Leo Geraldini, and I'm sure Ali Zani post-Christmas will come back into the mix after a couple of years there. He's stuck on 99 caps, so he's desperate to get back out. But and we just want to be able to meet and, as with anything, in 10 years' time and be at the stadio and watching an Italian team, knowing what we did was the right thing at the time. And that's what you do when you're entrusted with something like this. It can be hard, it can be tough, but along the way, we'll have some good times. And, you know, I'd fancy our chances if we had the same stats in a couple of years' time at the end of a game against South Africa in a World Cup. I'd fancy the scoreline to be a heck of a lot closer when you look at that game, given how we'll evolve in these next 2 years. So we can have some good times as well, but we'll also have some very, very difficult times. So the kind of the watchword is having resilience, but that's what makes sports people.
Do you have a wider brief? Like, is that actually part of your job, or is it just something you kind of feel like, look, you know, lads, this is great, and I'm going to do all the stuff that I have to do anyway as the head coach of an international team, but I'm also going to have to do all this stuff because we just have to for the culture to get everything right?
Well, it has to be done. Full stop. I mean, Michael is doing a brilliant job, as I said, and Kieran Crowley at Treviso, and that really feels like a proper rugby club again. But, you know, as the years go on, it'll get better. And it just has to be done. You can sit there and say, it's not your job. But unless all these things are actually done and in place, then nothing's going to happen. And there's a huge number of people working unbelievably hard now, doing things that should have been done a long time ago. That's the truth of it. But they weren't. So, I mean, the academies, and there's some good young players. You know, the Giovanni Licata, the last day against South Africa, 20-year-old flanker, was simply sensational. I mean, he topped the tackle count, he topped the carry count. And when he carried against big men like Vermeulen and De Toy, he made yards. And he looks physically like a person who can not just play, but be unbelievably effective at the very highest level. And that's the bit that's really exciting for everybody, that you have these young fellas coming.
That's class. That must give everybody hope that you're all going in the right direction. One last thing, is Italian life, is there anything about it that you found surprising so far, or has it been pretty much as you expected?
I think the bureaucracy, as I said probably a year ago, has surprised me massively. Because you know it's going to be different in terms of the bureaucracy and getting things done. Change, and it's not an Italian thing, it's a Latin thing. And change doesn't happen overnight or easily. That's just the nature of the beast. And it's probably one of the frustrations you have in making some of the changes we're trying to make at the moment. Is you want to make them quicker, but that's just not the way it works. So I think that's probably it. I think the footballers missing out on the World Cup in football, it's probably going to be a great thing for Italian sport in the long term, because it's making them reevaluate what they need to do as a sporting infrastructure and system. Mm. Because soccer is the religion. But no, I think it's the bureaucracy. If you can marry what's beautiful about the Italian lifestyle and culture and country with the passion they have and proper structures in their rugby, they could become a really, really competitive, strong side, and that's the goal for everyone. I'm just looking forward to taking a bit of a breather this week and get back into it properly next week. But looking forward to the Six Nations.
One last word about Ian McKinley. It's an amazing story, and it's a real testimony to what hard work and dedication and never giving up in your dream can actually do for you. It's like one of the best feel-good stories in Irish sport in a long, long time.
Incredible. He's an incredible bloke, but I think if I sat on here and started talking about what he did to achieve what he's done, he would be pretty annoyed, because he's a rugby player. He's an international rugby player. He's incredibly well organised. And when I talk about the resilience that we need doing this job to get Italian rugby back, it'll take the same sort of resilience Ian has shown to get himself to the level from, you know, the injury to Udine to Zebre to Treviso to international rugby. And it's a great story, but he doesn't want to be treated as a story. He's treated as a rugby player, and if he's good enough to play it for us, he'll play it. If he's not, he won't.
Connor, great stuff. Thanks a million.
Brilliant. Talk to you later.
Now, after the break, it's 13 years since Eli Manning did not start at quarterback for the New York Giants. We're going to ask ESPN's Mina Kimes if his time at the MetLife Stadium is done.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.